When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like Alo or Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret? With Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whatever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/try to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/try. Dig.
Fall into big savings, all in the Kroger app. Get packs of juicy red, green, black, or tri-color variety seedless grapes for $3.99 each. Then get tender boneless chuck roast or steaks for $4.99 a pound, all with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
BSM presents The Tim Meisberg Show, streaming live on WBSM.com and the WBSM app. Call 508-996-0500. Send us app chat messages and open line voicemails using the WBSM app. Now, The Tim Meisberg Show.
Good morning. Happy Tuesday to you. Welcome into a new day here on the program. And it's a day that's going to be clearing up and feeling like a beautiful day, to quote you two. So you just got to get through the early morning hours here, as Ceci was just telling us. A little breezy, cloudy, but it's going to give way to a beautiful day and a beautiful stretch of weather where it's not going to be too warm and not going to be too humid. Maybe a little September weather come early. Early September weather, early, I guess. Oh, it's right around the corner. I can't wait. Cannot wait for fall. I know some of you are like, don't rush it. We still got a couple more weeks of summer, man. We actually have about a month left of summer, technically. Want to give a shout out to the possum that was waiting for me this morning when I walked out and went to get in my car. I start walking toward the car, coming out of the house, walking toward the car, and I see the possum walking. I'm like, where are you going? I see him walking right toward my car. I'm like, what are you doing? So I'm like, hey, I'm going to be driving away. Don't go under there. And he kind of just stopped and looked at me and then crawled under the car. So I'm walking closer to the car, and then he pops his head out from under the driver's side door, looking at me. Like, you know, come on, what are you going to do about it? This is my place now. But I was able to kind of shoo him out of there and get him away. So thank you, Possum, for making me almost late to work, but not quite. So we have a lot that we can discuss today. Of course, we can talk about the Democratic National Convention last night, if you'd like to do that. I don't know how many of you watched it, how many of you stayed up. It went much later than I wanted to stay up for. And I, to be honest, I didn't know how much of it I was going to watch. I figured I'd catch highlights later. Plus, it's Monday night. I usually watch Monday Night Raw and then go to bed. But I ended up getting pulled into it and watched it pretty much from about 9 o'clock on. Some very good speeches. A lot of excitement. I'm sure there will be a post-convention boost like there always is for Kamala Harris. And then we'll get into the real work of the campaign. But overall, I thought, you know, the speeches did a great job of rallying everybody together, which is what a convention's supposed to do. And I thought that President Biden's comments were important. He kind of said it. See, there was an applause break that he should have just waited a little bit longer before he spoke again. But I got the sense that toward the end, because he was doing fine. And then toward the end, he got a little bit shuffled up. And I think it's because he was keeping an eye on that clock. I think he was trying not to go past midnight, but ended up going past midnight. So in that applause, you might have missed it if you were still awake. But he said, you know, people thought that he blamed those who wanted him to not to run, those who wanted him to step aside. And he said that, no, that he wasn't angry. And I keep getting the sense. And I'm not trying to speculate here, but I keep getting the sense that there's something else in his life that's making it so he's, because, you know, he's a pretty proud guy. I think there has to be an extenuating circumstance that's making him step aside beyond just, hey, Joe, we don't think you're going to win. But we'll see. Something else that I would like to talk about today is the passing of the great Phil Donahue. And I think if I'm looking at the influences of my life and why I do what I do and why I do it the way that I do it, I think Phil Donahue is up there as one of them. I didn't watch a lot of it when I was a kid. Obviously, I was going to school and busy, and my mom wasn't really a Donahue watcher. But I saw it quite a bit. And I was always struck by his style, especially later. I forget what network it was, but in the mid to late 90s, probably right around the time that the Donahue show went off the air, which was 1996, I believe. Right around that time, one of the cable networks was running Donahue like reruns, kind of like a best of Donahue. And it was probably just a syndication package that they had for, you know, maybe it was he ended the show in the spring and the new show that was going to replace it didn't start till the fall. So this was like a syndication package of a best of during that summer. Maybe that's how I saw it. I know the summer of 96, I was working a lot of nights and I was home in the morning. And I was so tired all the time from working all night that I didn't really do much during the day. I just kind of stayed home and read books and watched TV and then went to work. So I think that that's probably where I started to really, really dive into his style and what he did. And by that time, you were already starting to see the clash between his style and some of the others that were developing in those days. You know, Donahue was not, he talked about sensational topics, but he was not a sensationalist. And I think Sally Jesse Raphael kind of followed in that idea of, and I didn't watch a lot of her show either, but I think her, what I've seen of Montel Williams, you know, they tried to be more in that Donahue vein. And then you started to get in the mid to late 90s, those who were pushing the envelope more. When Jerry Springer started with his show, originally it was a Donahue clone. Same format, stand out in the audience, interview the guest, let the audience ask questions. I think he even took phone calls, just like Donahue did. Is the caller there? So I think that that was, you know, the mindset of that era. Donahue was so successful, let's copy what he did. But then I guess society changed. We wanted to push the envelope more, and those talk shows pushed the envelope. Geraldo certainly got that going. Jenny Jones did a lot of those more. I mean, she didn't have an extreme style to her show, but she certainly tackled some of the extreme topics. So you started to see that switch. And so by that point, you know, Donahue was the dinosaur. People didn't want to see that format anymore. But I watched it and I appreciated it. And I was like, this is a guy who is really interested in what his guests have to say. Even if it's only for that 1 hour. For that 1 hour, they have his total undivided attention with no agenda. And he was asking the questions that he felt needed to be asked. And he was also willing to step aside and let the audience ask the questions. On my way in, I was listening to America in the Morning. And in Kevin Carr's report, you know, I stayed in the car, no pun intended, just so I could hear the rest of it. And he was talking about, well, Donahue in the clip was talking about how the shows that came later kind of manufactured the audience. They told the audience what to say. Because it was about the plot of the show more than it was about the natural communication, the natural learning, the natural discovery. I'm working on releasing some of my my internet show that I did. I want to get all those files and put them out for free because our pay site isn't viable anymore. So I want to put those all out there and then people can hear them. And I bet you a lot of those shows I was subconsciously influenced by somebody like Phil Donahue. Push back a little bit if you need to, but only because that's the question that the audience is asking in their minds as they're hearing what they're saying. Not pushing back because I want to look like I know more than you. And there's a lot of talk show hosts that do that. We're lucky here that with all of our hosts, you have people that are naturally curious, naturally inquisitive. But you only need to, you know, go and look through some of the podcasts or radio shows that are online to find and listen to five. And within those five, you'll find at least one person who clearly has an agenda to the questions they're asking and to the guests they have on. And, you know, that's what people want in some cases. But I felt that that doesn't serve the conversation. Nobody's listening to that and changing their mind. You're only getting people listening to that already agree. So you're not really informing anybody of anything. You're just entertaining them. So, and that format, by the way, that Donahue created is something that revolutionized those TV talk shows. There'd be no Oprah if there wasn't a Donahue. So I think you've seen the DNA of that continue on. You've also seen it get bastardized a little bit. But that's a pretty significant, I mean, and he was a guy that was respected pretty much universally. But he also had no problem letting his feelings about certain things be known. He also had no problem using his show to push topics that he felt were important to discuss, but never just pushing his side. And I'm sure some of you out there watched him. Some of you might have watched him every day. And if you want to call in with Donahue memories, certainly would welcome that. I mean, I didn't watch a lot of it, but I've certainly seen a lot of clips and stuff online in the years since. Interviewing Vince McMahon and countless others. So you can share those memories, but also let's kind of keep that spirit alive. Let's have those kind of conversations. That's what we try to do here. And it's okay to disagree. I try to keep things logical and not emotional until you push me. Then I'm going to get emotional, but try to keep it logical. And try to keep it level-headed. Because the minute you steer off from that, it devolves into something that loses the thread, loses the focus. Look back at the Jerry Springer show and all the episodes of that you might have watched. And I'm talking like prime heyday Jerry Springer. You remember certain moments. You remember certain incidents. But did you learn anything? And that's not to say that that show didn't have its place. Certainly of its time, it was a huge program. And it was the kind of entertainment people were looking for at that time. But again, nobody really learned anything from Jerry Springer or even from Geraldo when Geraldo started to go more in that direction all the time. You know, give me less Jerry, give me more Phil. So Donahue was a subconscious influence for sure for me. And also somebody who, again, is universally respected. 508-996-0500. App chat and open line voicemails on the WBSM app. We can discuss a lot of things today. We'll probably go in a lot of different directions. Yesterday, I put up a couple of articles at WBSM.com and on the WBSM app that I want to point your attention to. One was something I'd been working on for a little while, just hadn't had the time to wrap it up and finish it. But in rolling through YouTube and kind of going down the rabbit hole, you never know what you're going to find when you open up YouTube and start mindlessly searching. I happened upon a video of the original Cape Cod bridges, the original Bourne and Sagamore and railroad bridges, which were the Bourne and Sagamore were drawbridges. And this YouTube video was filmed in 1914. No, was it 1914? Might have been, I think it was 1921, sorry. But it showed how those bridges operated. And I just found that fascinating. So I started, you know, I knew there were drawbridges there, but I had never seen them in action. I'd only seen photographs. So I started looking into it a little bit more and I said, oh, this is pretty interesting. So you can read about that and see the video at WBSM.com and on the WBSM app. And also yesterday, it was the birthday of Mr. Snuffleupagus. I don't know how they happened upon it, but Snuffy's birthday is August 19th. It's not the first time he appeared on Sesame Street. That was in November. But they recognize August 19th as Snuffy's birthday. I saw Sesame Street put something out on social media. I don't follow Sesame Street, but I follow a lot of like nostalgia pages, and I think one of them just kind of reshared it. And so I said, gee, I wonder what the history of Snuffy is. I mean, I remember when I was a kid, nobody could see him but Big Bird. And then one day my siblings were watching Sesame Street and I was like, wait, why can everybody see Big Bird? Snuffy, why is everybody talking to him? And then I started doing a deep dive into the character and into the people that played him, and found out that Jerry Nelson, the Muppeteer who originated the role, he was also the Count. He was Floyd in the Muppet Show band. I mean, he did a lot of different Muppets. But he was a somewhat local guy. He moved to Truro even while he was working with the Muppets. And when he retired, that's where he spent the rest of his time till he passed away. So an interesting read there on the history of Snuffy. And a little more info about Jerry Nelson. And you can see, there's a video I put in there of Mr. Snuffleupagus' first appearance on Sesame Street. Terrifying. Absolutely terrifying. I don't know why kids in the... I mean, you go and you see some of those early Muppets from Sesame Street, and they all look kind of freaky. And I think it's probably because we're looking back at it from our own perspective of how we've always seen them. But man, Snuffy, nightmare fuel. All right, and you can see that video in the story. I got to take a break. We'll be back in just a few moments. And we will definitely take your calls coming up, as well as your app chats and your open line voicemail messages on the WBSM app. You can even send your birthday shout outs if you want to wish anybody a happy birthday. You can do that on the WBSM app. Just open it up, hit that open line button, and then record your audio and send it over to me. It's that easy. Just make sure it's something I can actually play on the radio. Don't use any language that you wouldn't be able to use if you were calling in. And I know some of you don't understand those limitations, but most of you do. So try to keep that in mind, so that because I don't have the time to edit anything. I don't have the means and the time. So I just want to be able to play it. So keep it ready and suitable for air. One person who's always ready and suitable for air is Phil Devitt in the WBSM newsroom. Take it away, Phil.
President Biden takes the stage at the Democratic National Convention. The FBI says it knows who hacked Trump's campaign, and remembering a daytime TV legend.
From the WBSM newsroom, this is WBSM News.
President Biden addressed the Democratic National Convention in Chicago Monday night. He told the crowd he loves America and added voters will be casting ballots for democracy and freedom in November.
We're facing an inflection point, one of those rare moments in history when the decisions we make now will determine the fate of our nation and the world for decades to come. That's not hyperbole, I mean it literally.
He said, "We're in a battle for the soul of the nation, and Donald Trump is only stoking fears for votes." He was expected to accept his party's nomination just over a month ago. He quit the race and endorsed Kamala Harris after fellow Democrats questioned his mental fitness and ability to beat Trump. Former President Barack Obama set to speak tonight at night two of the DNC, along with his wife Michelle, Second Gentleman Doug Emhoff, Illinois Governor J.B. Pritzker, and Illinois Senator Tammy Duckworth. Today's theme will be a bold vision for America's future. The FBI is concluding that Iran was behind the hack of former President Trump's campaign. Brian Shook with the details.
In a statement, the Bureau said that it saw increasingly aggressive Iranian activity during this election cycle and that both presidential campaigns had disruptions attempted. The statement went on to add that Iran has sought access to individuals with direct access to the presidential campaigns of both political parties. Reports also surfaced earlier this summer that Iran plotted to try and assassinate former President Trump, with the country denying both. I'm Brian Shook.
The panel that spent months looking into what led up to a mass shooting in Lewiston, Maine, will release its final report today. Members have taken time to conduct interviews and hold public hearings to find facts related to the shooting this past October that left 18 people dead and 13 others injured. The gunman, Robert Card, opened fire at two businesses in the city. He was later found dead of a self-inflicted gunshot wound. Disney is changing its position in a wrongful death lawsuit. The company announced last night it's now waiving its right to arbitration in the case. Jeffrey Piccolo filed the lawsuit when his wife died last year after having an allergic reaction to a meal she had at a Disney restaurant. Disney originally claimed the lawsuit should be tossed because the plaintiff agreed to arbitration when he signed up for a Disney Plus subscription. Disney now says they strive to put humanity above all other considerations. and remembering legendary talk show host Phil Donahue. Michael Kastner reports.
His family said he passed away Sunday night after a long illness. Donahue was surrounded by his family, including his wife Marlo Thomas, who he met on his own show. He hosted the Phil Donahue Show for 29 seasons, starting in 1967 until retiring in 1996. Before Oprah, before Jerry Springer and Ellen, there was Phil. He was a trailblazer. He had live guests and took calls, and he shut down raised voices.
This screaming is hurting us. You know, this is a lot like the Pentagon scandal. You know, really, it's so big that everybody can blame somebody else and nobody has to fix it.
Donahue returned to the airwaves in 2002 to host Donahue on MSNBC. Phil Donahue was 88.
WBSM Sports.
Red Sox lost to the Houston Astros last night, 5-4. Another game tonight. First pitch from Houston just after 8 o'clock. And the Patriots still deciding who will start at quarterback in the season. That's starting very soon. One more preseason game this weekend.
Now your ABC 6 South Coast forecast.
Happy Tuesday, everybody. Lovely morning out there on the cool side. You'll probably end up needing a light sweater this morning. Temperature in the mid to upper 60s under partly cloudy skies. Partial sunshine this afternoon. Temperature is on the cool side as well. Below average, low 70s. Mid 50s, decreasing clouds overnight. Sunny and 71 for tomorrow. Similar for Thursday. From the ABC 6 Weather Center, I'm meteorologist Ceci del Carmen on New Bedford's News Talk Station 1420 WBSM.
Weather on WBSM is brought to you by SeaStreak. Whether it's a daycation or a staycation, get there with SeaStreak. Visit SeaStreak.com for reservations to Martha's Vineyard or Nantucket. I'm Phil Devitt for WBSM News. Stay up to date with New Bedford's News Talk Station WBSM and get all of our content and breaking news alerts with the WBSM app.
Welcome back in, and not only do we want to give a shout-out to the possum that was under my car this morning, but the shout-out to the deer that Ange avoided hitting this morning. So glad that you're both okay, you and the deer. But this is, you know, the time of year where animals are out there. I mean, they're out there all year round, but this is the time of year when they seem a little bit more emboldened. Like, yeah. We see you over there, human being. We don't care. And I think we've got quite the menagerie of wildlife here on the South Coast to be aware of and look out for. So, you know, be kind to the animals. I'm not saying we got to put billboards up on the highway for every single one of them that dies, PETA. But just keep an eye out. Plus, anybody that's ever hit a deer or known somebody that's hit a deer usually doesn't end well for your car. I'll never forget when Moniz hit a deer driving home from Spooky South Coast. Matt Costa and I were in a different vehicle. And he called us and said, "Hey, can you guys come back and pick me up? I don't think I can drive my car. I just hit a deer." And he was driving a Mercedes. When we got there, the radiator was in his dashboard inside the car. That's how much the car got pushed up. It scrunched up. So, yeah, most of the time, you're not going to come out without a scratch when you hit a deer. So 508-996-0500. Barry has an article up today. And if it's one thing that Barry is good at, it's courting controversy. If you've ever listened to his show, he has his opinions. He doesn't back down from them. And he's going to defend it vigorously against anybody that challenges it. And Barry and I don't agree on a lot of things. We get along great, but we don't agree on a lot of things. And I try to keep quiet about a lot of it, but I just can't about something today. I can't. I've got to call Barry out on this. I can't stand for this. I just feel like he's finally gone too far. And I can't abide it. You cannot disparage the good name of Manhattan clam chowder, and I'm going to let you get away with it. Now, I get it. It's not as good as New England clam chowder. It definitely isn't, and I'm not here to try to convince you that it is. But it's got its place. It's pretty damn good. It's different, and certainly you're not going to pair it with certain things. But it's a wonderful dish when done correctly. I'm a fan of Manhattan clam chowder. I think it gets a bad rap around here. And by the way, if you go to Manhattan and you order clam chowder, 90% of the time you're getting New England clam chowder. Manhattan clam chowder is not like, it's not like there's a dividing line when you cross the border into New York and they're like, ah, get that cream-based stuff out of here. Tomato broth all the way. But I think that Manhattan clam chowder is a fine meal. It's a fine chowder, soup, whatever you want to call it. And by the way, think about all your times going to Rocky Point, getting that chowder, dipping the clam cakes in it, all those great memories. That's what Manhattan clam chowder is. So I think Barry just went a little bit too far in his disdain for Manhattan clam chowder. But hey, everybody's entitled to their own opinions. I don't have to agree with it, but I'm definitely going to shout it down because Manhattan clam chowder is pretty good. Now, he also wrote this morning about Rhode Island clam chowder, which I didn't even realize until I became a cook was a thing. I'd always my entire life either had New England style clam chowder or I had Manhattan clam chowder when I would go to Rocky Point. Every once in a while, you might go to a restaurant that offered Manhattan clam chowder, but for the most part, it was always New England clam chowder. So I didn't know that Rhode Island clam chowder was a thing because I had Manhattan clam chowder in Rhode Island. So why would I think Rhode Island would have its own brand of chowder? But then when I first started working at the diner in Wareham, we didn't serve New England style clam chowder. We served a natural broth quahog chowder. We got bushels of quahogs. We steamed them up. We chopped them up all by hand. Chopped up the onions, the bacon, potato, everything. And we made that chowder from scratch every Friday. And we made 50 gallons of it because we would go through it between Friday and Monday. And we weren't allowed to make New England clam chowder. People would ask for it, and the boss would say, nope, that's not what we do here. And that's when I learned about Rhode Island clam chowder for the first time. And I don't think I've ever been to another restaurant that offers it. But Manhattan clam chowder is A-OK in my book. Still not my first choice, but it has its place. Every once in a while, when I get a can of chunky soup, I'll get a can of Manhattan clam chowder. For a while, I lived off chunky soup. I had cans of it here in my office. I had a bowl that I bought at Dollar Tree. Just a little ceramic bowl. And I'd heat my soup up in the microwave. I love soup. So every now and then I mix in the Manhattan clam chowder. I haven't had it for a while. Maybe I'll have a big bowl of it today. Maybe during Barry's show today, I'll come in here and sit in the studio and listen and just eat my big bowl of Manhattan clam chowder. Well, now I'm just antagonizing the guy. All right, I got to take a break. 508-996-0500. We will be right back. And welcome back. And that is One Headlight by the Wallflowers. And a funny story about that song. So back when I was 19 years old, my mom, you know, my dad worked at night, and I worked until like 8 o'clock, 8:30, 9 o'clock at night, and I was going to school during the day. And my mom would let me have a beer if I was staying home. I didn't really love beer then, but it was, you know, the novelty of the fact that my mom was letting me have a beer at 19. And one day I asked her if she would... For some reason, I don't know, because I was a pretentious 19-year-old, I was drinking Heineken, and I asked her to get me one. And I would just have her get like a 40-ounce Heineken, and I would keep it in the fridge and drink a little bit and then end up never finishing it and dumping it down the drain. And so I said, hey, can you get me one of those Heinekens? And she said, get it yourself. It's like I'm 19. And, you know, she was just kidding. She was teasing me, but I was like, you know what? I'm going to try it. And so I went to this little corner store near where I lived, and I tried to buy one, and they let me do it. They didn't ID me. So I was like, ooh. So I got the Heineken, and I just want to go home and be like, see, I got it myself. Put it in the car. I think I put it like in the trunk because I was so nervous. I only had to go like less than a mile to my house. And I'm so like preoccupied by this. I pull out of the store and there's a police officer parked in the back of the parking lot watching traffic. And I'm like, okay, act natural. And I start driving away and I see his lights come on. I was like, oh no, he knows. He knows that I bought a Heineken. And he pulled me over because I didn't turn my headlights on. It was nighttime. And I don't know how I was driving, not being able to see. I guess there was probably street lights or something. And then he's like, do you know why I pulled you over? And I was like, no. He's like, you don't have your headlights on. I said, oh, okay. Yeah, turn them on. Don't forget. Okay, thank you. And then as I start driving away, I turn the radio on and One Headlight comes on. I was like, at least One Headlight, he probably would have let me go. Anyway, 508-996-0500. Let's take a quick call here before I get taken my next break. Good morning. You're on WBSM.
Good morning. I am with you on the Manhattan chowder.
Good. See, there's two.
Because what happens is the New England, if it's too many places make it look with too much cream, too thick, it just doesn't add up right. The Manhattan always just a light broth. It's great. Now, the Rhode Island chowder I just discovered recently at the Evelyn's Drive-In in Tiverton.
Mm-hmm.
Man, that's good stuff.
So you like it better because it's a thinner broth? Is that
with the problem with the New England is that depending upon who makes it, sometimes that broth can be overwhelming.
And it can be starchy too. A lot of times they put too much flour in it and it's too starchy.
But you get this Rhode Island at Evelyn's in Tiverton, or there's a clear chowder at Amaral's in Warren that is also really good for something different.
Right. I'll have to try those. Thank you for the suggestion.
You got it, Sam. Have a great day.
You too. And I got to take this break. We'll be back in just a few moments. All right. Before we go into the news, let's go to one more phone call. Good morning. You're next on WBSM.
I could wait until after the break.
No. This is the time I'm giving you.
Oh, okay. So what did you think about, did you see that video I sent you?
I haven't had a chance to watch it yet, no.
On your Facebook thing.
I saw the video come in, yeah. I just haven't had a chance to watch it.
Please look at it during the break, please. And I'd like to hear your expression. And remind you, watch the third kid's face. It explains it all.
Okay.
So if you know somebody that's kind of interested in the paranormal, and they said, you know, I want to have a party and bring a Ouija board there, what would your suggestion be on that?
I have no problem with it. I bring Ouija boards to all kinds of things.
I know you wouldn't have any problem with it, but the average person, you know, person with good sense.
The recommendation I would give is if you're going to use it, just try to have positive intentions and go into it by saying before you use it, you know, nothing bad is going to happen, nothing bad is going to come through, and you know, 99% of the time that keeps you okay.
Yeah, but you know, a lot of times people don't close the board. That's a big problem. They don't know how to close it after they've opened up the dialogue and stuff of it. And that's like what happened with the kid, Roland Doe from the real kid Beyond Exodus. Mm-hmm. Because of that, he didn't close the door. And I know of other people that have had that problem. They didn't know how to close the door. They were scared, you know, when something shocking happened. But they never did get to do the right thing, closing the board. And that's what left the door open. And see, when you do it, you close the board, though, don't you, when you finish playing with it?
Yeah. I mean, and really, you know, I think anybody who does any kind of spirit communication always should say goodbye and thank you at the end, no matter what type of whatever format you're using to do it.
And never play with it by yourself either.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't want to do a Ouija board by myself anyway, because who else is there to experience it if something happens?
You might be like saying, I'm looking for the bill papers. Could you tell me where they're at? You know the bill papers, right?
No, I'm trying to find D.B. Cooper's money.
D.B. Cooper, that money's been spent years ago. That money's been spent. And there's like $8,000 that was left by the river where these kids found it. It was left there on purpose, and he was watching the kids find it in this river. And that you could still buy you still buy some of that actual money on auction from, you know, if you on eBay still. They're still selling some of that D.B. Cooper's money that they have there. They had like $8,000, at least that's what it was, and it was right there with the family and stuff. So he died, like I said, he died years ago. And that's what happened to him. But I feel that there's something with that bill thing. And I keep having a dream about going, when I come to visit you, going somewhere. Come on, let's go look. You say, no, let's go to the Phoenix place. You know, so just another Phoenix. And of course, you know, I said, okay, I'm going in that direction. We got to look anyway. And so, but no, I think we find something. I got a hankering, at least something's there. I can't say what it is. I don't know what it is. Keep feeling, I'm going to say the bill or something like that. Something big. I'm going to say something maybe even from the Revolutionary War.
Well, like we'll have to see what we can find. I'm going to hold you there because we're coming up on the news. But during the news, I will watch that video, I promise.
Okay, one more thing. You know,
Fall into big savings, all in the Kroger app. Get packs of juicy red, green, black, or tri-color variety seedless grapes for $3.99 each. Then get tender boneless chuck roast or steaks for $4.99 a pound, all with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.